I was trying to think of what the Lord would have for all of us this morning, no matter who we are, no matter how long we've known him. When I'm at work and somebody's having a trouble explaining to someone on the telephone what's happening, they've started to use this phrase. At first, I took offense at it. I don't now. They said, "We have someone here who's Irish, and if he can understand it, you can understand it." So it pretty much sums me up. I'm just a simple person like the rest of us. But our God is great. Our God is amazing. And I'd like to read to you. Just remember my glasses. I didn't have to borrow any. That's good. We're turning to the book of Romans. And as I said, I've found this really catching my attention recently. The worship this morning, what Stuart shared, I believe that was of the Lord, because it's actually just fitted into what I have here. I hadn't a clue what was going on, so the Lord does. It's all about him. So we're going to turn to Romans chapter 1. And I just would like to read the first 7 verses. So let's just pray before we read the Lord's word that he would open our hearts and unblock our minds to what other things are going on. Father, we want to thank you for Jesus. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for what you want to do before you've even started the work. We thank you, Lord, that you come into our lives and you make the first step. But I pray, Lord, that as we come to your word this morning, wherever we are in our lives, that you will help us to make the next step and walk towards you. Be with us now, Lord. Challenge our thoughts, our spirits. Work in our minds and in our hearts and do only what you can do, because we want to glorify your name and everything that happens. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I don't know if you're reading from what version this morning. I've got the New Living Translation because it's the only one I have in big print. And the old eyes are starting to fail that way. So let me read to you. This is just initial greetings from the Apostle Paul. This letter is from Paul, Jesus Christ's slave, chosen by God to be an apostle and sent out to preach his good news. This good news was promised long ago by God through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. It is the good news about his son, Jesus, who came as a man born into King David's royal family line. And Jesus Christ, our Lord, was shown to be the Son of God when God powerfully raised him from the dead by means of the Holy Spirit. There's the Trinity in itself. Amazing. Through Christ, God has given us the privilege and authority to tell Gentiles everywhere what God has done for them, so that they will believe and obey him, bringing glory to his name. You are among those who have been called to belong to Jesus Christ. Dear friends in Rome, God loves you dearly, and he has called you to be his very own people. May grace and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There's so much in there in just those first 7 verses. I'm not going to go through all 7 of them. You'll be happy to know, because there's so much. So that's something you can do later on. You can go through them and just pick out the bits that you think are utterly amazing. But there's so much there. I just want us to think on verse 3 and verse 4, just for a few moments. I don't know if I've used this story here, but if you've heard it, please bear with me. But there was a captain. They were on this airplane, and I'm sure any of you that have been on an airplane, you know they have this intercom system, and the captain comes through and he says, "We're flying at this height and that. We're doing this and we're doing that." The captain came over the intercom and he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, I have some good news and some bad news. The bad news is we're just a tad a bit off course. As a matter of fact, none of our instruments are working now. And we haven't a clue where we are. The good news is we're making excellent time." As our brother said earlier, who are we? What's our focus in life? Where are we really going in our lives? What questions are we asking ourselves? Where are we heading? I'm sure at some time or other, no matter how old we are, we tend to ask those questions. We have a little 18-month-old staying with us at the minute, and he's driving me up the wall. He's a great wee chap. I really love him, but he's just got so much energy. I've forgotten what it was like to have an 18-month-old in the house. But he hasn't a clue where he's going or what he's doing. He falls all over the place, and he gets up and he looks at you, and if you laugh, he laughs. But he just hasn't got a direction. He hasn't got a focus. He doesn't know what he wants to do. He's all over the place. He'll go from one thing to another. It's very similar to the story of the man who bought the new hunting dog. And eager to see how it would work, he wanted to take it out into the woods to hunt a bear. That was the ultimate. So he got ready and he headed out. And of course, the dog caught the scent like that. Amazing dog. And it raced off through the woods. And you could just imagine this man with all his gear on him, and he was huffing and he was puffing, trying to keep up with the dog. And suddenly the dog stopped. And it started sniffing around again, trying to pick up the scent. And of course, a deer had passed through the bear's scent and got mixed up in it. And so it left the bear and headed after the deer. Again, the man was puffing and panting, trying to keep up, thinking, this is a great dog. And the dog stopped again. It was sniffing. It was trying to find that scent that it needed. And of course, a rabbit had passed through the deer's scent. And so it started following the rabbit. The tail wagging. It was all over the place. It was full of life, full of beans, as we would say. And as it raced after the rabbit, it stopped again. Sniffed about and raced off. And the man was having real trouble keeping up with this dog. When he finally caught up with the dog, it was at the foot of a tree, sniffing down proudly and barking at a hole underneath the tree root where the mouse had gone. It's one of these things we have to ask ourselves. Are we looking in the wrong place for the answers? Are we easily distracted? Do we move away from what's really important? It's so necessary to remember what God's word says, because he speaks to us that way. What we sing when we praise and worship him, because we're adoring him, we're honoring him, we're giving him his place. All the songs this morning amazingly fit in with God's word. That must be him. It must be, because we can never just arrange things perfectly. They don't work that way. The Lord is with us. The Lord is sure. The Lord is clear. Think about Jesus, born of human flesh, revealed as the Son of God through his resurrection. Our amazing God, the one who is with us through everything. He's the center of all of history. Everything moved towards him and then moved away after him. Someone has said this phrase. I'm using this phrase, so if you want to use it yourself, please feel free to do so. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And for me, that's what I need to do in my life. And I'm sure you feel the same way. What is the main thing? I could ask you and you could shout it out. It's Jesus. We need to keep Jesus in our lives completely, wholly, and nothing interfering with our relationship. It's all about him. You can catch it through every song that we sang about following Jesus, surrendering to Jesus, honoring Jesus. There's no other way. We have so much to give thanks for. Unfortunately, it's not only those who don't know Jesus that go the wrong way, but we do ourselves. How many times have we questioned our reactions to things? I'll tell you a true story, because it embarrasses me, yes, but it answers the point. Some time ago, Isabel and myself went over to see my parents, and we had driven the car over. We went on the ferry, and we arrived at their house. And one of the questions that my mother asked Isabel, I didn't know this till later, was, how do you get on with Gordon's driving? And Isabel said, well, it improves my prayer life. And that gives you an idea. That's something I'm working on. Not the way that I drive. Sorry? Oh, sorry. Right. My mother said, how do you get on with Gordon's driving? And Isabel said, well, it improves my prayer life. So I have the problem of realizing I'm not always the person I should be when I drive. And if there is someone in the car that doesn't know Jesus or is maybe young in their faith, what impression am I giving them? I have to learn. There's something in all of our lives that way that we have to look at and we have to learn. We're never at that stage where we've done it all, when we know it all, when we're the perfect example in every part of our lives. And we have to ask the Lord, show me again. Reveal more of who you are. Become more of the main thing in my life. Take complete control. So I just really want to share three little things from verse 3 and 4. And these are helping me. I was really interested in what Alan was sharing about the cone, because I'm not a person for pictures. I'm not a person for dreams or visions or all that sort of thing. It might happen occasionally, and when it does, I know it's something I need to pay attention to. But sometimes it's words with me, it's phrases. And the phrase that is getting me recently, or rather the word, is the word intimidation. I'm pretty thick-skinned. I can be stubborn. Maybe that's my Irish nature. I don't know. I think it's more of the old man's nature. But sometimes I need to ask the Lord, Lord, intimidate me with your presence. Overwhelm me with your presence, that I feel so caught up with who you are that I have to acknowledge it's all about you. It's not me. It's not what I want. It's all about you. So I just want to share three little things with you that I feel help me and are continuing to help me, and I think would help all of us as we seek his guidance, his will, his focus as to who we should be individually and even as a body. So the first thing is purpose. We may have functions that we do in our lives, but we need to look at the purpose of Jesus, because it's all about him. So understanding who our main thing is, Jesus, we will know how we are to respond in kind. So verse 3, we read this. It is the good news about his son, that's God's son Jesus, who came as a man born into King David's royal family line. Or if you were like me and you were raised on the King James, it says, according to the flesh. But it's the same thing. When we speak about Jesus, we think about him as the man, especially after Christmas time, we think about his birth. We go into the new year and we think about him as the little boy in the temple. And we remember all the things about him, the way he walked along the roads in Israel. Maybe you've been there, I don't know. I would love to have gone and done that. I don't know now if I'd be able to. But to walk where Jesus walked, to be in those places where he was. Imagine being there when the miracles were being performed, when the healings were happening, when things were going on outside our understanding. But the man Jesus was there. There's some very interesting thoughts about this, because in the old Hebrew language, they have a word called nephesh. Sounds almost like a disease. Nephesh. But it just means soul or spirit. And it's that spiritual soul or spirit. So it's something deep. And that's what Jesus had. That real soul. That real heartfelt, God-loving spirit in his life that was reflected in everything he said, he did, he showed amongst other people. And then Jesus says, love others as you love yourself. You have to remember who he was, the way he lived. We don't want to just talk the talk. Some people would say walk the walk, but we want to be like him in every way. It's hard, it's difficult, but it's worth it. It's why we are chosen, why we're special, as Stuart said, a chosen people, a holy nation, because we take on the example of Jesus. We're chosen by him. We're blessed by him. Of course, we read in Philippians 2, 6 and 7 that Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very form of a servant, being made in the likeness of man. As Paul uses the word, sarx, flesh. It's one of those words that's quite strange, because when you're talking about something like that, you think it's just your skin and your bones. And I believe we sang about bones. But it's not just the flesh and bones. That word is really our old person, who we were before we trusted Jesus. Isn't it amazing? Jesus was born and he never sinned. How many times have we sinned today already? In thought, in word, in deed. Even unintentional, or we haven't thought about it. It's just been a reaction. That's what that word's all about, that nature, that behavior. And although at times it's used about Jesus, it's also used in conjunction telling us that he is not like that. He is above that. Not because he was made perfect, but because he resisted it all the way, even beyond the cross. The perfect sacrifice. The one who could pay for what I do wrong and what we can do wrong. Our sin. Our inner original sin even. It's just so wonderful to think about Jesus. We have so much to thank him for. What is my purpose? What is our purpose? When it comes to Jesus, it's being like him. It's honoring him. He's worthy of it. He's all we need. I've been using up some holidays recently because I never take them probably, but I've been just using them up, and I came into work at the beginning of the week. And when I went in, there was a great buzz in the room about everything going on. I had a clue what was happening. I hadn't been in. No, I really wasn't interested because I had the weekend off. It was great. And then it came out very quickly. Somebody had bought one of those scratch cards. And they won £100. And everybody thought this was great. And I met the person, spoke with them very briefly, because they worked just a few desks along from me. And I says, well, what did you do with it? And they says, oh, I went to the pub and drank it. It's gone. Isn't it amazing? Jesus doesn't go. We always have him. He's always there. Whatever the circumstances, Jesus is always there. The more we get of him, the more we give. Yes, just as Pastor was saying there, the more we give, the more we get, the more he fills us. There was an old hymn we used to sing years ago in the dim and distant past. I don't know how many here would know of this one. And it was based around the story of the lady with the cruse of oil, as we used to call it, and how the prophet actually went to God and she was able to keep filling water jars full of cooking oil so that she could sell for a living. And the course of it was like this. He will fill your heart today to overflowing as the Lord's commanded you. Bring your vessels, not a few. He will fill your heart today to overflowing with the Holy Ghost and his power. That's what we all want, isn't it? We want to be filled to the full and overflowing so that God can't get anything more of himself into us. We want it all. We want him. It's not about money. It's not about possessions. It's not about things that we have talents with. We can feel that we're the most useless person, but if Jesus is in us, we have everything. It's all about him. And he's the one who brings purpose to our lives. Oh, we can just talk about Jesus so much, can't we? He's so amazing. The second thing, I just want to jump onto this one. It's in verse 4. And we read this, and Jesus Christ, our Lord, was shown to be the Son of God when God powerfully raised him from the dead by means of the Holy Spirit. The second thing that we need to remember, and this will help us remember the main thing in our lives, is the power of God. So it's not just the purpose of Jesus, but it's the power of God as we read it in verse 4. Jesus wasn't just a man who reached out to us. Remember, he's the eternal Son of God. He is what we would term the God-man. And some people find that hard. We should find it hard to understand because it's a mystery. It's amazing. How could God, who made this universe, who exists outside of time, put everything, his essence of who he is, into the form of a baby? We saw the picture of little Maria. We see how harmless these little ones are. Yet the essence of God was in the baby Jesus. It didn't just happen that when he was baptized, God zapped him. The presence of God was always in him. He was always fully God and fully man. This does blow my mind, thinking about it, that the one who made this world, we're hearing so much about climate change and the way that the planet is being trashed, and it's horrible to think of those people that are suffering maybe from effects of the weather and all those things. But isn't it tragic that the planet has been affected that God made? And we're his people. He places his power within us. I used to work beside a fella, amazing guy, but unfortunately he didn't know Jesus. And when he found out I went to church, he thought it was my crutch. You go to church because you need something to prop you up. in life? No, we don't. We go to church because we know the one who gave us life. He's given us life. Doesn't mean life is any easier, but it does mean he goes beside us. Or as the old poem says, he goes beside us, in front of us, behind us, above us, below us. He's everywhere. And also inside us. Amazing stuff. Jesus said, let me just go straight to the scripture, because this is what Jesus says about his relationship with God the Father. He said, John 10:30, I and my Father are one. John 8:58, before Abraham was born, I am. He accepted the comment that Thomas made after the resurrection, when Thomas called out, my Lord and my God. And then Jesus said, blessed are those who believe and did not see. How amazing. How amazing. No wonder the Pharisees and the religious leaders called out to Jesus when he said, I am. I am. God himself in the burning bush called out to Moses and said, I am that I am. I exist because I exist. And Jesus was saying, well, I'm the same. He was literally saying, you can see God. How amazing. How wonderful. I was told a story about not the last President Bush, but the one before that. Some of us who are old enough might remember him. He was the first George Bush. He went to the funeral of the Russian Premier Leonid Brezhnev as the leader of a nation. And as he went to this funeral, he was taken back by all that was going on. Everything went well. No, you could just imagine the military precision in Russia at that time. Everything was the full communist state. And there was the military procession with their steel helmets. And there was guns and rockets and everything going past, even before the coffin was seen. The might and the power of Russia was displayed for everyone. And then there came the time when they started to talk. No prayers, no hymns, no nothing, just Marxist rhetoric. And they were talking about the greatness of Russia. They didn't actually even mention the name of Brezhnev in the speech that they had. It was just all about Russia. And then finally, in the coldness and the hollowness and this horrible feeling that Bush had in this funeral, he was just in the right spot amongst the dignitaries to see Mrs. Brezhnev, who was a tiny little lady, and she made her way forward to give her farewell to her dearly departed husband. And as she walked over to the casket, to the coffin itself, she looked at him one last time, and Bush was shocked to see this. She took her index finger of her right hand, and on the chest of Brezhnev, she drew the shape of a cross. This lady actually was Russian Orthodox. And she knew her husband had been wrong in his activities and his belief. And she drew the symbol of the cross. And afterwards, she had said to Bush, I hope that he gets another chance. There comes a point we don't get another chance. We know that. But we need to remember our God is more than able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or even think. His power is within us. His power is within our reach. And yes, sometimes we are asked for faith. But we need to trust. We need to believe. We need to know that sometimes if we do something, it will be blessed. People will get saved, praise God. But sometimes we don't do things with the right intentions and they go wrong. Just remember his power at work in us, in the workplace, in our home life, in schools and colleges, wherever we are. We have a dynamic power of God within us. What is amazing is God wants to do something here, whether we know it or not. There's something going to happen here if we trust in him, if we rely on his purposes, if we accept his power. But it's not enough. We need to remember the last piece of the puzzle. And again, we see that in Scripture. Verse 4. And Jesus Christ, our Lord, was shown to be the Son of God. We need to remember his position. We need to remember who he really is. We can't be flippant with Jesus. We can't take him lightly. It doesn't mean we get all serious and we go along with long faces and we dress in black all the time and it looks like we're totally depressed. Far from it. But we need to realize exactly who he is. If we don't do that, we miss the whole point. We miss out what's really happening. One of the things I'm fascinated in, and this has happened to me recently, has been names. I've come across some amazing names when people have called in to speak to me. And some of them, I actually came across somebody, and their surname, they were Greek originally, and their surname was Christos. Now, Christos, if you go to your New Testament, that's the name of Jesus. Jesus Christos, Jesus Christ. And I ended up having a great conversation with this guy. We just clicked like that. But names are amazing. So what do we know about Jesus? Let's think about who he is, because this really has to nail our faith. Our faith is nailed on who Jesus is. And we need to nail our colors to the mast. If we don't know who Jesus is, we don't even know why we're really here. It's as simple as that. So let's think, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus, we know all about that. What does Jesus mean? Savior. We remember that from Christmas. For he will save his people from their sins. Amazing. So we know who Jesus is. Christ? Well, Christ means anointed one. It's a very Jewish term because it goes back to the Messiah and the Old Testament prophets when they would use that term Christ exclusively of the person who would come to save the nation of Israel from what they were facing. So when we say Jesus Christ, the Savior who is the Messiah, God's anointed one, the one set apart for God's purposes. And then we say, Lord. Now, Lord, it's quite a difficult one, this one, because if you say Lord, you could be talking to anything or anybody. In that time, at that time of the New Testament, if you called someone Lord, it meant it was just someone who was in a better position than you in society. If you were a slave, you called your master Lord. If you were just a normal person who worked and served in the fields or anything like that, the person who paid you, you could call them master or Lord. But in this case, it's totally different. because I'm sorry about being technical, but we need to understand who Jesus is. He's so important. We can't get away from this. The Greek word that's used for Lord is called kurios. Now, kurios isn't in the Greek New Testament, I have to be honest. It's in the Old Testament in Greek, which is called the Septuagint. That's what the Jewish people used in that time. Greek was the common language. It was like, if you're in Dundee, they've got their own slang. You know all about that, Stuart, when you work with people down there. They talk in their own way. For me, if I'm in Belfast, no, I can be over there a couple of hours and I know what I'm talking. I can understand people and whatever. I'm sure wherever you were raised, you have certain phrases, certain idioms, whatever, that people would understand. It's just the way you were when you lived in that area. However, in the Hebrew Bible, the same word is translated, and you'll not believe this, I had to check it myself, it's translated as Yahweh or Jehovah. So think about it. Jehovah God, Yahweh, we're talking about Jesus. I am that I am. He is our God. That's how amazing he is. The whole of Scripture works together to tell us the fact that Jesus is our God. Everywhere we go, Jesus is there. I don't know if any of you have ever come across this book. It was given to me years ago. I've lent it to somebody over the years and never got it back and forgot who I lent it to. But it was by a man called Hodgkin. And it was simply called this, Christ in All the Scriptures. And he went through every book of the Bible. And he was able to find Jesus everywhere from Genesis to Revelation. And the one thing he said that caught my attention was this. If we do not accept Jesus as God, we do not believe that God is real. After the years of study that he had put all this together, if we do not believe that Jesus is God, we do not believe that God is real. Do we believe in God? Of course. If we do, we need to remember that Jesus is our God and we need to yield to him completely. As we sang, nothing less will do. It's all or nothing. Everything has to be about Jesus. At the minute, because of what I've been doing with this, I've been asking myself and questioning myself in my actions, in my motives, when I'm at work, when I'm in the car. Yeah, I have to work on that one, I know. When I'm at home, when I'm putting up with this little 18-month-old kid running around, sending me up the wall because I don't know what to do next. No matter where we are, no matter what's going on, no matter what our circumstances, and we're all different, is Jesus our everything? For me, I would say most of the time, because I've still things to work on. Whatever it is that Jesus is not the main thing in our life, we need to work on it. We're being honest with one another and ourselves before the Lord this morning. Yes, Lord, there are things we need to work on. Help me keep my focus completely in you. Let me finish with this. For many years, there was a man, a Christian counselor called Bruce Larson. He lived in New York, and he had counseled thousands of people to help them make a decision for God. Sometimes he was able to help, sometimes the people just wanted to share their thoughts and walk out. On one occasion, he suggested a man to leave his office because he was struggling with a particular question and walked down to a place called the RCA building on Fifth Avenue. So he walked down there, this gentleman, and as he walked inside the particular building, here was this amazing statue. And it was the statue of a man called Atlas. Atlas comes from Greek mythology, and because he claimed he was the greatest man ever, the gods said to him, "You're going to be punished, and you will have to bear the burden of the world on your shoulders if you're so great." And so this statue is of Atlas under the weight of this big planet sitting on top of his shoulders. And the gentleman that he was counseling, he told him, "Once you see that, I want you to walk out and cross straight over to the opposite side of the street. And on the opposite side of the street is St. Patrick's Cathedral. And in St. Patrick's Cathedral, right at the front, there's the high altar. And at the high altar, there's a little room to the side, a little shrine. And he says, have a look in there." And he looked in, and the little boy Jesus is in the shrine. And he has his right palm outstretched, and the world is sitting on it. Now, I have to ask myself the question, am I the person who struggles carrying my worries on my shoulder, thinking I'm carrying the weight of the world? Or am I the person who's trusting even in the little boy Jesus to carry my troubles, my worries, my fears, my anxieties? Our God loves us. Our God cares for us and keeps us. But it's my place, it's each of our places to keep our eyes on him, to remember his purpose. And he purposed in his life to show his heavenly Father. Our purpose needs to be to show him in every part of our life. We need to remember his power in us, because it's that power that makes the difference. And finally, we need to remember who he is. If we remember who he really is and what he can do and how he can keep us and care for us, nothing will become too great. He will meet our need because he's all we need. Amen. The Lord bless you.